We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 13. Luke chapter 13. All these announcements, all these many things to be praying over, to be praying for, and we hope that you will be in your place on Sunday as Pastor Chad and Pastor Todd are out of town this Sunday. Pastor Todd obviously is with his son, as we talked about a moment ago, and Pastor Chad's at the winter retreat. And so Pastor Denver will be speaking that morning, and I'll be leading music, and we're looking forward to a wonderful first Sunday of 2018. Can you believe it? 2018. It sounds like a year off of a sci-fi movie, right? But it's real. It's right here. It's unbelievable. I'm going to speak to you tonight on a subject of the parable of the barren fig tree that I hope will be a help to you and will be something that will be encouraged for you. And we'll have some fun tonight, prayerfully, hopefully, here in just a little bit as we dive into God's Word. Time is moving so fast. Right? I mean, I remember growing up and people would say that oftentimes about how time is flying. And as a little boy, that just didn't feel the case at all, right? It just seemed like it took forever for Christmas to get here. Summer lasted forever. You had so much fun and so many things happening, so much stuff going on. But then now it's like a year goes by every other week. It just keeps on coming and keeps on coming. And they said it's just going to speed up. So we can look forward to that. Regardless where you're at tonight, how old you are, how young you are, you haven't seen this coming year. We can't. We don't know what it's going to entail. You've probably seen lots of years come and go, but what this year has in store for us, we have yet to be seen. So the subtitle of this message is, what will you do with another year? What will you do with another year that you have? And I think you're going to find right in our text where we're drawing this from, and I hope it'll be a help to you. We're going to read the first five verses first that really set the context. They really set the tone for the parable that's to be given. We're going to read those first, and it's interesting, before we just dive into it, to understand what is taking place here at this time. When we start jumping in, context is key. As these chapters are talking about, Jesus is talking and he is teaching, and they're on their way to Jerusalem and they're traveling in this caravan, and there's lots of teaching opportunities that are taking place while Jesus is traveling. And Jesus is steadily taking time to answer questions of people that are desiring to learn. There's multiple times that this happens as you read through the previous chapters and you read through Jesus' teaching, and people are asking questions and he's taking time to teach them. And apparently here in our text that we're going to look at, before he gives this parable, some men introduce, or they take time to interrupt Jesus in his teaching. They take time to relay this shocking story that is really just mentioned so very lightly, and if you're not careful, you glance right over it and don't take time to really see what's happened. They give this shocking story as if to confront him with this disturbing scenario, just to see what Jesus would say. Now, we've been doing this. I mean, we've been looking at different conversations that Christ has had over the years, and this is not the first time that Pharisees and scribes and reporters have tried to trip up Christ and what he had to say, and certainly this is the case taking place here. And so this is what's happening when we dive into Luke chapter number 13. Verse number 1, there were present at that season, this season of all these folks that he's teaching, that some of them told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans, these folks that were slaughtered and killed, that they were sinners above all other Galileans because they suffered such things. And he says, no, that's not the case, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He says, and then he gives this other scenario. He says, or if 18, those 18 people upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? And again, he says, no, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now, Jesus, or before we get to that, Pilate had taken some time to to take monies and take tribute from the temple, and had confiscated money for the purposes of building an aqueduct, improving the water supply that was there. And the folks that were there were not all that happy about it, if you understand. And they were not pleased with it, and there was an uprising that was happening, and I'm not doing justice to the story per se, but they're upset. Pilate, in retaliation to this, decides to have men come in dressed as worshipers and acting like they were a part, and he comes in and they slaughter. This atrocity takes place. Pilate ordered these men, disguised as worshipers, to attack and kill these Galileans during the Feast of the Tabernacles. And the slaying of these men was so vile that the blood mingled with the blood of the sacrifices. And this is an awful story. Jesus is there teaching, and somebody comes in and says, let me tell you what happened and list this atrocity, this terrible story. And Jesus literally had no choice but to respond to the story, had no choice but to speak to what it is that he had been advised of in that moment. If Jesus had ignored the issue, the crowd would have accused him of being pro-Roman and disloyal to the people. And if he had chosen to speak out against Rome, then he was going to be prematurely arrested and was going to end up in jail. And so he had no choice but to answer it, but this is in a kind of what we would often look at as a lose-lose situation. No matter how I approach this, you ever been in a scenario like this? It doesn't matter which way I go, I'm gonna get it coming and going. It doesn't matter what I'm gonna do. Jesus finds himself in this very spot, and everyone so very quiet, trying to figure out what Jesus is gonna say. But Jesus does so often what he does many times, takes time to reorient their thinking, takes time to tell them a story, takes time to ask them a question. And you know, if you were to summarize this, as I take time to summarize it, he starts asking, maybe this happened because they deserved it. I mean, maybe they were really bad sinners. Maybe that's why it happened. Or maybe this is on Pilate. You know, this is Pilate's fault. And maybe they deserved it. And maybe this is Pilate's fault. Maybe it's to blame. And then he says, no, that's not really the case. He said, but what about those guys that weren't protesting, that weren't mad at Pilate, that weren't doing anything like that, and they were in this construction accident when 18 people died? He says, maybe it's God's fault, implying that this happened, and these guys were just doing their job. It's against this backdrop that Jesus tells the story of the barren fig tree. I don't know if you've ever been around someone who, most typically a lot of wise people would take time to do this, that you'll ask somebody a question or you'll present somebody with some facts, and instead of answering the question, they ask another question. That's somebody that to ask a question, to ask another one. And then some folks, as Jesus did, not only ask the question, then it seems like they start telling a story that has absolutely nothing to do with what it is that you're learning about. You know, one of the things guys that I enjoy reading after and watching is a guy by the name of Ravi Zacharias, who's an incredible apologist who answers these questions of people trying to defend his faith and defend the position, and they will ask him a question. And sometimes as I'm watching this guy defend his faith and defend it, he'll start telling some story about a rabbit, and I'm like, what is he talking about? You know, and there's no idea, and he comes back around, and then finally you realize exactly what it is that he was going to answer, and he answers it in such a beautiful way. And this is what happens with Jesus here. This awful scenario is put in front of Christ, and he starts asking a question. He's like, were they bad sinners? Was something happened? What about this other story? And then he tells this parable of the barren fig tree. You know, on at least four different occasions during this travel to Jerusalem, Jesus encountered at least four different times that there were questions that needed to be answered, that people were curious. And not every question was done with the right motive, but that didn't stop Jesus from communicating a truth that they needed to hear and that we need to glean from, even still today. And so we're going to look at this parable of the barren fig tree, and prayerfully through the conversation we have here tonight, be able to make some sense of some things and put some pieces together that I hope will be a help to you. Look at verse number 6, if you would. Jesus speaks the parable now after this saga has unfolded that people are obviously very familiar with. And he says, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereupon. And how much did he find? Nothing. Zero. Nada. Zip. And he said to the dresser of the vineyard, "Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground?" And he answering said unto him, "Lord, let it alone this year, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, wonderful, great. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down." I'm going to look at this parable and break it up into a couple of different segments that I hope will be able to make some sense to us here tonight. Roman number one, if you're keeping notes, I want you to look at this. This guy, this businessman owns this vineyard, and we're going to take time to look at this as a businessman who owns a vineyard because it's the story that's told. Here's a guy that is a professional farmer, so to speak. Here's a guy who is a professional vineyard. He has this orchard. He has this vineyard. He has this property. And in the process of him taking time to do inventory over these trees, he finds that there's one that's particularly lacking. And so Roman number one, write this down, a remorseful report unveiled. This report has been given to us according to, it's interesting as you look back and understand what's taken place to a deeper degree. According to Leviticus 19, fruit from newly planted trees was not to be eaten for 3 years. And so for the first 3 years, you didn't take time to take any of the fruit. It wasn't proper. It wasn't ready. And the fourth year, during that fourth year, everything that came in was the Lord's. It was an offering to the Lord. This all belonged to him. Meaning that a farmer, if I've done my math right, farmer doesn't get anything until year five. You understand? 3 years, the fourth year belongs to the Lord, and now year five, he finally is able to get something. And the fourth year happens, and there's no figs. The fifth year comes, and he's finally supposed to get some fruit. You know how many figs there are on this tree? Nothing. And the sixth year happens. How many figs are on the tree? Nothing. The seventh year happens. How many figs are on the tree? 3 years that this guy has thought he was going to have some time to get some fruit, and nothing happened. I want you to consider for a moment. Let's examine the investments that were deposited into this tree. Let's take time to think about this. Again, as a businessman would, understanding this guy has a vineyard, he's got hundreds of trees, he's got thousands of acres, no doubt, and he's keeping track of things, and as he looks at the investment that he's poured into this tree, I can certainly understand this, growing up in North Carolina around farms and working on farms and taking time to work different fields. My dad loaned me out to the farmer many different times, many different summers. He didn't think I should be home playing Nintendo, mean dad. But I'm grateful for the time that I was able to spend getting to understand a little bit, not to the degree that some of you understand, I know. But I can understand what is transpiring here. And this guy has poured himself into this work. He is wanting to be a good steward of the vineyard that he has. And if something is not being profitable, then he wants to know something isn't being profitable so he can replace it with something that is able to yield him some reward, that is able to have a positive net gain. You know, to help us understand what this entails, we can examine another passage in Isaiah chapter number 5 that talks about the type of investment that's required. Listen to this. He says, "My well-beloved has a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. He's fenced it. He's taken time to do this, gathered out the stones thereof, planted it with the choicest vine, built a tower in the midst of it, and made a wine press therein." Understand it. It takes a lot of work to cultivate some land. It takes a lot of work to cultivate a vineyard. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of energy. There was a lot of planning involved. Somebody actually had to go plant the tree to plant it in the right spot, in a place that got the right amount of sunshine, that got the right amount of nutrients. This location was here. It wasn't some random coincidence. It happened on purpose. A vineyard is a place that provided protection from the animals. It provided protection from the wind as they would build a border around wild animals, insects, disease, and there was personal oversight given by the gardener, some TLC. This is everything and more that was deposited into this tree. All of this given and given and given and given. And like any businessman, he had to take time to say, I'm going to examine the investments that's made, make sure I've made the right investments, and I've got to take time to look at the flip side and examine the withdrawals that are taken. What is it that is being taken? I mean, think of the outlay of resources that this tree has consumed. Think about the outlay that has happened, the time, the space, the water, the fertilizer, the sunshine, the pruning, the weeding, the caring, the providing, the protecting, the serving. I mean, from a businessman's standpoint, doesn't he have to look and see, is this yielding what I want for it to yield? This plant here, this tree, this fig tree is doing a lot of taking and not much given. You know, in case you don't know maybe where you're at in the story, where I'm at in the story, we're the fig tree. You understand? And daily, God is so good to us. Giving and serving and loving, and died on a cross for us. So many undeserved blessings of relationships and job and health, the gift of memory, family and friends, hobbies, home, transportation, food, clothing, medicine, all of these things. This is what the scripture says, that he daily loads us down with benefits. Just daily lavishes these things upon us. When we look at this vineyard where so much has been deposited, even more has been taken. And a businessman has to come with this state of mind. He has to look and say, let's examine the net yield. And you know what he found? He found a deficiency. Let's examine what goes in, what goes out, and are we at a positive or are we a negative? You know, with everything the fig tree is given, it's just the reasonable service of the fig tree to supply the owner with fruit. It's not an outlandish expectation. It's not anything that is unreasonable. You're not asking the fig tree to make an orange. You know, this is not an unrealistic thing. With all that I've given you, with all of the vineyard that I've given you, with all of the care and attention that I've given you, it's not an outlandish thing to receive some figs, especially after 7 years. Years after year after year. And yet the report has come back that there's no fruit. The net yield, we're in the red. And we're lacking. Now, I want to ask you a hard question that I had to ask and I'm still asking. What would the uncovered, unfiltered spiritual report be of the fruit that has yielded in your life in 2017? What would the uncovered, unfiltered spiritual report be of the last years of your life? It's not unreasonable, is it, for God to ask us? It's not unreasonable for him to ask us to serve. It's not unreasonable for him to ask us to sing in a choir. It's not unreasonable for him to ask us to go to learn how to share our faith. It's not unreasonable, is it, church? It's unreasonable to lead? Is it unreasonable? Romans 12:1 says, Paul says, I beseech you and I'm begging you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. It's just reasonable. It's your reasonable act of worship. It's your reasonable service. It's just reasonable. And we just experienced communion on Sunday. I don't know if you were here or maybe out of town with the holidays, but it was a special service. And we love communion. And communion is so special. and we take time to remember, there's some somberness about it, and then there's a great joy and victory that's about it because of the victory that was found in the death of the cross and the blood and the body that was broken for us. And a part of the communion that Jesus Christ said, this is what you need to do. He says, let a man examine himself. Let him take time to do some inventory. Let's take time to see what all we have been blessed with and what all we are taking and what is it that we're doing. So I'm going to ask you a question that might sound a little funny to you. How many figs were on your tree last year? Did I bear good fruit? Did I bear productive fruit? You know, some of you were very fruitful this last year. And you can look back and you can testify to God's goodness and you can say, God was so good. And we did wonderful things in Jesus' name and we did wonderful. And we pray in 2018 that we'll be able to do even greater. We hope and pray. However, because we live in a sin-cursed world, I can guarantee that there are some branches of your tree that might be found a little lacking. There are some branches, there may be more than one branch that is found a little bit unfruitful. And so a reasonable question is asked. You understand? A report is generated and we found out what's been poured in, we found out what's gone out, we've kind of balanced the books here and we found ourselves lacking. And so really a great question is asked. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why is it even here? Why is this tree even planted here? If it's not good for anything, then why is it even here? It's like you're a waste of space. A waste of skin, a waste of time, a waste of resources. It's like, that's harsh. In other words, you're identified as garbage because all you're doing is taking up space. We're not fit for anything but to be cast down and burned up. He says you're identified as garbage if you take up space, drink minerals, draw out sunlight, absorb water. Let's make it personal. Use church. Receive sermons, listen to growth group lessons, attend life groups, and never turn into anything. You see, eventually, the responsible owner, God, has to ask the hard question as to whether or not he will continue to invest in something that's not fruitful. Just the responsible owner asked that question, wouldn't you not? Am I going to continue to invest in something that's not fruitful? The owner says, cut it down. Get rid of it. Chop it down. Get it done. I don't want to deal with it anymore. I've protected it. I've cared for it. I've nurtured it. I've done all these things for it. Just cut it down. Now, if I was writing the story, that's how it would end right there, right? Cut it down. You know, I just be away. I'm going to start with a new one. I'm going to get a new tree, and we're going to do this all over again, and we're going to make sure this time this is more fruitful. We're going to make sure this time this works. Sometimes I'm a little bit of the proverbial bull in a china shop. You know, I come in somewhere, and if something's not working, the answer is to kick it, right? You ever know this? I was trying to mess with Pastor Denver's phone the other day, and I was just punching buttons. I ended up reprogramming the whole thing. I had to get Larry Duke up here. I scrambled the whole thing. I can't figure it out. The machine doesn't work. Shoot it. You know, they're not working. Shoot them. You know, figure it out. There's one thing that I want, same thing that you want, is results. And I want them yesterday, not now. That's too late, right? We want them yesterday. We want to figure it out, and I roll things around, and if it doesn't work, get rid of it. Cast it out. Get done. But God isn't like me, and I'm so glad. God's more long-suffering. Now, God has an expectation, you understand. I mean, James says that faith without works is dead. The scripture talks about there will be a reckoning. There will be a day that we'll face Jesus Christ. Those that are saved and unsaved are going to stand before him one day, and accounting is coming, but today is a day of grace. We're like, cut down the tree. Jesus is like, hang on. Would you give me another year? Just give me a little more time. Give me more time. Let's try it again this year. You see, he's talking to this group that have painted this vile scene and this awful, egregious atrocity. As he paints this scene, you see, he's saying the question is not why did these people die, but why do you even have the right to live? Anyone can die, and everyone eventually will die, but it's only by God's grace that we get to live. And it's only truly by repentance that we can live. If this story stopped with cut it down, we'd come with a harsh view of God, but it doesn't. It comes with a renewing grace that is displayed. Every single breath that you breathe is a picture of God's grace. Every single day that you live, every single week that you get a chance to go through, every single month that you get a chance to thrive through, every single year, every single moment, everything is a renewing picture of God's grace. Again and again and again, God's heart is not to cut you up and throw you out in the fire, but to cultivate you, to give you more time. God's heart is to extend grace. Now, I want to give you some practical things and encouraging things for you to grab a hold of here as we go into 2018. How can I make the most of this renewing grace in 2018? What does this look like? How can I make sure that I'm fruitful in 2018? How can I be more fruitful this time next year? What can I do? Each of these are sermons on their own. I hope you'll write them down. Let them enable you to bear fruit. Don't have time to spend much on them, but we have spoken much of them over the years. Pastor Todd's spoken about these in depth. Here's your first bullet point. How can I make the most of this renewing grace in 2018? Cultivate your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Cultivate this relationship with him. Fruitfulness is not about what we do for Christ. It's about what Christ does in us and to us and through us and in spite of us. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 talks about this, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. You know the fruits of the spirits that are there. It's forged in our hearts and lives when we cultivate a relationship with him. This isn't complicated, but it is a discipline. It does take work to make time for regular Bible reading, to make time to talk to God through prayer, to make time to serve, to make time. Like, oh, I'm busy, I don't have this, I don't have that. And it's we're going to end up in the same mess if we just end up with all of these excuses instead of carving time out to say, I'm going to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit. This next step is very practical. It's going to sound a little funny, but I'm going to make some application for you. Not only cultivate your relationship with the Holy Spirit, next, count your figs, right? Count your figs. Now, I've got a verse up there, John 15:8. You could correct the reference there on your handout. I discovered a little while ago. This guy owns a vineyard, right? We've been talking about him. He owns a vineyard. He's got a vineyard that's here. He's got all these trees. And apparently, out of all of the trees that he has, he takes time to do this audit. And in doing this audit, he walks around and he finds that tree number 27 is no good. He's walking around and he sees that tree number 26 is doing okay, but tree number 27 is a showstopper every single year. And he looks back at the accounting and sees that there's a tree that is lacking, has no figs. This is so practical and it's so simple, but you've got to find a way to measure your fruit. You've got to find a way to measure. I had breakfast with a guy yesterday morning and talked about how he's working on things. Like, I'm working on being a better servant. I'm working on being a better Christian. I'm like, that's wonderful. What does that look like? And what I found more often than not, many people don't have an answer to that. What does that look like? What is your next step for Christ? What does that look like? What steps are we taking? If I'm cultivating a relationship with Christ, I've got to find a way to track it. I've got to find a way to look through a devotional. I've got to find a way to have a prayer journal. I've got to find a way to count and make sure that I'm developing traction. If not, I'm going based off of my feelings, and that's no good. I'm going to go based off how I feel. I've got to find a way to track it. You won't make changes in your life unless you're tracking it. You're just not. You're going to deceive yourself into thinking that you're making traction. But if you're going to make progress in 2018, cultivate a relationship with Christ. Track what it is that you are doing. Then, of course, confession has to be part of the equation. Confessing both the sins of commission and omission, taking time to say, God, I'm not only sorry for the sin I'm committing, but I'm also sorry for what I am not doing that I know I should be doing. Say, well, I didn't hurt anyone. Well, that's great. Did you help somebody? Well, I didn't steal anything. Well, that's wonderful. You didn't commit that sin, but were you generous? This gives you a benchmark, right? Cultivating this relationship with Christ. I've got some measurable goals that I can work towards. And confessing the sins of commission and omission. Now, this one here, I've been waiting for this the whole time. Did you guys get any Fig Newtons? Did y'all get any of this? I want you to write this down. We're gonna have some fun with this. Use your manure. All right? I want you to write that down. Use your manure. I want you to see this. Now, there's got to be a cultivating. There's got to be a counting. There's got to be a confessing. And then I love the verse that's here. He says, there's got to be a taking time. We see in verse number 8, the manure that takes place here. These are Fig Newtons. How many of you like Fig Newtons? I was talking to people before the service, and they were like, oh, Fig Newtons. I haven't had one since I was a kid. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to have some tonight. We got treats in church. They're pretty good, huh? I could eat like a whole sleeve of these things. Did you eat them when you were a kid? Like eating all the time? I love these Fig Newtons. We could eat them. I might eat this whole box right now. I already had three before church. It's terrible. I had to make sure you could eat them, right? They don't eat them in church. Well, I'm eating them in church, but that's okay. Don't talk about that. These things are delicious, right? I mean, these things are these special treats that we have, and they're made out of what? Not complicated, right? Made out of figs. And Jesus' parable is on what? I shouldn't have put that in my mouth. Now I can't talk, all right? I am prepared just in case with some water, all right? Sermon's going to take 2 minutes longer now. Every time you eat a Fig Newton, you see a Fig Newton, you watch a commercial for Fig Newton, or you walk by the store and you see something, I want you to think about the parable that's found here in Luke chapter number 13. I want you to think about your fruitfulness or lack thereof in that moment that comes across your eyes. In our text, the gardener says, before we get figs, verse number 8, can't have a whole one right here. You know, this is not. Can't eat just one. Before you get figs, you have to have manure. Now, if I were to come to you and I were to say, hey, you want a Fig Newton? Maybe one I haven't touched. I don't know. But there's a fig Newton. If I were to come to you, and because you're right with God, you'd say, I would love a fig Newton. Because fig Newtons are great. And I were to come to you and say, I want you to have a fig Newton. And you'd say, yes, I'll have a fig Newton. And I say, well, here's the thing. With this fig Newton comes a pile of manure. That's what it comes with. I'm going to give you this fig Newton, but also I'm going to give you this handful of manure right here. And you could be like, can I just have the fig Newton? Maybe? Just have the fig Newton? I'm like, no, no, no. In order to get the fig, you got to have the manure. In order to get this to happen, you're going to have the manure. And you're like, no, I don't want to do that. But the point is, though, it takes manure to get a fig. Now, let's bring some application, right? Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? I want you to look at your life right now. Where's the manure in your life? Is it in your marriage? Like, oh, yeah, it's a pile of it. No doubt. Is it in your finances? Yeah, that's a mess. I go to the ATM and I think cash didn't come out. Manure comes out. There's nothing in there. Nothing. I mean, what does that look like? Spiritually, your walk with God, you're like, yeah, not great, not good. Relationships, they're a disaster. A lot more manure than fig. Suffering, hardship, loss, pain, failure, trauma. You know what, Pastor Mike? It just stinks. My life stinks. Everywhere I look, everywhere I go, it's just garbage. It's just manure. And if you're honest with yourself, you've had these moments as I have, and you're like, God, you must not love me at all. You must not care about me if this is what you're doing in my life. If this is how you treat me, if this is the garbage hand that you have dealt me, you don't love me. You're not good to me. My life is manure. But the reality is, God could say, and does say, that I love you so much, I gave you that manure. I gave that to you, and I am digging the roots out, and I'm putting that manure on your roots, and I am trying to make sure that you can have wonderful fruit in the future. I love you enough to dig these things out, to work on you. See, it takes a while, unfortunately, to go from manure to fruit. The process isn't very glamorous. We're like, God, I just want the fig. I just want the treat. That's all I want. I want the treat. And God's like, no, it doesn't work like that. That's all I want. See, this is a part of God's work in your life within his vineyard. What he's desiring to do in your life and in my life. Generally speaking, most people who have allowed tragedy, as they've turned it into something great and something wonderful that they've used to help other people, it began as something pretty stinky, pretty smelly, pretty awful, pretty disgusting, disappointing, and sometimes even embarrassing. But by the grace of God, they decided, I'm not going to waste this manure of an experience. I'm not going to waste this time. I want you to be encouraged tonight and inspired to make this year that you have, yet another extension of God's grace, yet another extension to be able to say, I'm going to make this meaningful and fruitful for all the right reasons. And the manure that comes my way, I'm going to thank God for it. And the delicious fruit that comes my way, I'm going to thank God for it. And everything in between. Don't want you to give up. Like what one pastor said, he says, turn your pain into a plan to bear fruit. This is what I'm going to take my pain and turn it into a plan to bear fruit. Now, let me give you a warning. Make no mistake that we are in a season of grace, and it's wonderful. But there will be an inspection time. And with all that he has given you and all that he has blessed you with, he has a right to expect fruit. You can hide your lack of spiritual fruit from the world. You can hide it from your family. You can even hide it from people here in church. Maybe like that parable of the one fig tree, if it's just nothing but leaves. It looks great, but there's not any fruit there. You can't hide the absence of fruit from Christ, though. His inspection is thorough. One day, 2 Corinthians says, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You don't know when that day could happen. It could happen before you ever pull out on the Ridge Road tonight. You could never wake your head and wake up in the morning. A certain man had a fig tree. He inspected it for fruit, found none. After 3 years, ordered the tree to be cut down. The gardener says, wait. Give him another year. I don't know. Only God knows how long you or I have. In this season of grace that we have, can we not just commit to say, I'm going to bear fruit for my Savior? I'm going to bear fruit. I'm not going to allow the weeds to choke out what God is wanting to do in my life. Understand this, God is not concerned about a new year. All these resolutions and things, they're wonderful. I like them. I like to plan. I like to do all these things. But God's not as concerned about that. God's concerned, he wants a new you. He wants a new me here in this year. So what are you going to do with this extension of grace?
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.